just filtering the people who've just come off the flight. Sorry.
Can I request, out of respect for the 41-year-old mother who died yesterday and her 15-year-old daughter who died yesterday and their 7-year-old son who's in critical condition, that we just stand, those that can, for just 1 minute of silence. Thank you, everybody. Okay. Is this on? Okay, this is a council meeting, 23rd of July, full council meeting. We'll crack on with the agenda if we can. Apologies for absence.
Just from Councillor Webster.
Who was off holidays, isn't she? Were you all happy with that?
We also have Councillor Davidson as well, and we're doing all the apologies.
Okay.
The County Councillor has said he's running late, but he should be coming.
Okay, okay. So
he's coming. Yeah, he's coming.
Thank you.
So I'm accepted.
Thank you very much. Record declarations of interest in any of the items today, anybody?
I'm a city councillor, the one I'm also on duty this evening as well, in case that fund does go off.
Okay, thank you. Thank you, Carl. Session for 15 minutes. Anyone want to speak tonight? Please.
I'm not sure how these things work, so I do apologise if I do a step on
code. No, don't worry at all. You've got 3 minutes. Just
right.
Up to you.
Okay. regarding yesterday, terrible tragic thing, I would like to bring forward that when you have your next internal meeting to maybe discuss to have some signage done for the beaches. Not only just about the riptides or whatever, but in general, what can happen with tides, because we had in 2023 a young man 30 years old dying because he tried to save another boy's life. That happened, and since then actually we hadn't seen any other actions on the beach. Now worldwide, where I've been travelling, there's always signs on the beach like be careful when the tides are or when there's a wind or whatever. I think it's time for us to put something in place about how the dangers are on the beaches. I know lots of people coming from London, they'll see the tides come out and they say, where's the water? They have not a clue about tides in general. Plus, when we then think about how riptides work, they have no clue, sandbanks, how they can be dangerous. But we just be more, that we have something in visual for us, so a picture as well as writing. So it should be low, not just up there, there's something low that the kids can see, also the pictures to understand it as well, if that's okay with you.
Thank you. It is on the agenda for tonight, but I am thinking we might defer it because it's a sad, emotional day today, and we need to give it some real thought.
Although it may be worth just making a statement that we will work with all parties, all stakeholders, because it's not, we don't control all the beach.
No, so the City Council for certain.
So that may be worth making the statement at that time that we intend to work with all.
I would confirm that because it is a particularly complex issue involving at least half a dozen parties.
And we take your point, by the way, about the visuals.
Yeah.
I've just come back from the beach, that's why I'm a little bit later than usual, and I made the point, it was ITV, I think. that we don't want a whole load of words because people will not stand there and read a load of words. So we need some,
can read the language.
We need some visuals, so if you have any idea on visuals,
yes,
please send them to our
clerk. I'm trying to get hold of an illustrator as well, just in case.
That would be absolutely great.
Yeah. Just to say to the young man here, I didn't see your name, sorry.
Nigel,
I'm sorry. I know that it's done under the umbrella from Colchester, besides Monkey Beach, that's Mersey Council, but the rest of the beach is Colchester. However, if we set something in place to have a risk assessment, when we set that down, what is the main dangers on beaches, we do a risk assessment, Colchester will be liable if something is happening, so they have to put their...
I don't think they're going to argue putting signage
no.
up, but...
We can answer that at the Waterside Forum, as you know, which does take into account the problem is with Mersey, is that so many private parts of the beach are owned by Seaview, they're owned by Colchester and Mersey, which are very small parts of this beach, they're all private owners, and trying to get them all on board. This signage has been going on for a fair time to get this, and we're actually quite the way through it. Councillor Parsons, with us earlier on this year, he's actually presented signage for the forum to go through. It's getting everyone on board and it is moving forward. Strange enough, the signage is getting close already.
Yeah.
The officers have already started to produce them. So it is there, but the problem is the Mersey Beach is not just owned by Mersey Council, and some of the private owners of it are not interested. They do not. But we are trying to bring it on board. This does bring it closer, but the forum is meeting to go for all of this. It is currently in action now. I know that. So
we are taking it seriously, but I would like to defer that item for today. I'll keep some motion back.
I agree.
Are we all happy with that?
Yeah. No. Not to defer it as such, but as I say, when we get to it, I think we should make a statement that we will contact or work with all stakeholders.
Absolutely.
We don't want to discuss any signs or anything, but we just want to make a statement.
Well, I think that's a reasonable statement which
yeah.
we can make now and note if you like.
When it comes on,
what would be worth is the council to back and rejoin the board forum.
Yeah, okay. And any ideas, visuals, or anything would be gratefully received.
Happy to help.
Thank you very much. Anyone else like to speak? Chris?
Yeah, thank you. I hadn't actually planned to speak tonight, but I did want to express my thanks to you as Mayor for your considered and appropriate comments. What we've seen in the last 24 hours, though, unfortunately, is both the best and the worst of society. We've seen some already absolutely disgraceful online hate. And I think, you know, this unfortunately is a byproduct of the political environment which we now have. But I think in the context of that, and I'm not trying to score a political point, is that I would respectfully ask the councillors to consider a book of condolences that actually expresses the community's shock, horror, and the fact that, you know, we as a council and as a community want to express love, not hate, for this poor family.
Yes.
Thank you.
Thank you, Chris. And I have to say, I think I said it on the ITV interview half an hour or so ago, that I've been very pleased with the response locally. The Neighbourhood Watch didn't want banned at all comments being put up. And I think the community here has been highly respectful.
Agreed.
Mm.
So, but some of the national stuff has been shocking.
Yes.
Absolutely shocking.
Some of the social media is poor, isn't it? But it hasn't come from Mersey locals.
No,
it hasn't come
good.
From our locals. Thank you, Chris. We noted that, haven't we? Anyone else like to speak? Yes, David.
Just on that subject, I think you'll find the coroner will make very strong recommendations of what you have to do.
Yeah.
It's happened before. The Coast Guard, the RNLI, people like that have all these signs, visual, drawn up already. They're using them around the coast, so they are available. You know, they will be obviously part of the consultee, but the coroner is going to, I'm sure, be very hard on the beach area.
Yeah, well, there certainly will be an inquest, won't there?
Yeah. So, anyway, moving on. Car parking, your favourite subject, I'm sure, Mr. Councillors. The co-op car park restrictions do go against the understanding reached in 1979 when they were invited by the late Stanley Hills to increase their presence on the island by joining in with the community in its wishes to provide a new medical centre with a common entrance. At the meeting in 1979, over £50,000 was raised to build the doctor's surgery, and in 1984 an extension to the co-op took place, and also the dental surgery was constructed, again by local subscriptions. With the access through the new bigger car park, both the doctors and dentists do have 24-hour access right, and it's on their deeds with the land registry, and it is registered. And this brings up the issue of these cards that they're putting on. That actually infringes their rights. They have been warned to sign under duress at the moment until something is properly negotiated, but that's an internal matter. Whilst I do have some sympathy with the co-op's present parking issues, however, with all the recent large-scale developments taking place on the eastern side of the village, this is only going to further increase vehicle parking in the village as householders need to access the local central facilities. In recent years, West Merseytown Council has improved the play facilities in the school garden, the youth field play area, and the British Legion has taken control of its car park and stopped general free parking. Here, the district council ceased to pay for this car park to be available Monday to Saturday 9 to 5:30 p.m. These issues have therefore placed even more pressure on the co-op car park. I believe that West Merseytown Council needs to seek to provide a new car park in this area, as it has created attractions and facilities without the real support of any local car parking. The youth field for the skate park is now village green and therefore cannot, in theory, have a car park built upon it, as I understand village green law. However, it may be possible to deregister part of the existing village green behind the school gardens and register part of the northernmost part of West Mersey Park as a replacement area. So therefore, one is only left with the old British Legion field, now leased to the school, as a possible only regional place to construct an all-weather surface for car park. However, that is not your property, it is still around the school. Yes, it will be costly, but Section 106 monies that come from the new homes are supposed to provide for this sort of thing. The car park should be free for all to use. This could serve as the West Mersey park, the skate park, the youth play area, children's play area, school drop-off, bus park and ride, chemist charity shops, and even helping the doctors and dentist parking. As this car park would be mainly for the local community, it would be an asset of great value and should be serviced in future years by the local parish rate. I commend that to you to look at. I know it's on your agenda tonight to look at the British Legion giving you an hour's free. That's going to be very much a temporary measure because you don't own the land and have no control at any time. They can stop. I know it might go against the public, not be happy again, but it's a pro tem measure. Thank you.
Thank you, David. Ian?
Thanks. Just to add to that, an idea of consideration of a one-way system around the main part of the high street, etc., following the bus route, which then would allow for further on-street parking. My submission is that 26189, policy re-complainants. This does not, but should exclude those making a complaint to the council, such as myself, in respect of any breach of legislation or statutory duty, or its standing orders, or an issue of public safety. It should also exclude reasonable reports, requests for reports by the media, relating to council business. Another item, signage on the foreshore, I'll defer what I was going to say, as that's been to be deferred from the agenda, except that I refer to my submission to the Waterside Forum and the Environment Committee in respect of the above. However, stepping forward from that, in respect to the foundation blocks of the World War II defences, I was earlier asked at a council meeting to scope their removal. I then advised the council that the Marine and Coast Guard Authority Marine Licensing Section, who advised the Marine Management Organisation on applications in respect to marine safety, had advised they would support an application for an exemption for an MMO licence for removal of the blocks. Those are owned by the Crown Estate, with their responsibility, that they will not themselves remove them as they don't adjudge them as a risk, but the council may itself, together with the Crown Estate, arrange their removal. I have advised how these can be removed by a marine contractor for beneficial use elsewhere in sea defences without requiring access across and the resultant damage to the adjoining salt marsh, which is an SSSI, by use of a spud pole barge with a crane and a dumb barge, both positioned aground alongside them at low tide. I consider, importantly, that this would improve the safety and amenity provided by the council's beach by removing any current or future risk posed to watercraft, bathers and beach users by these blocks. The marking of these obstructions is inadequate, as it is similar to that to the end posts of groins, which are obstructions from the beach to the posts, whereas these are obstructions between the posts. The blocks else form a no-go area of the beach for bathers and others, and so prompt bathers to swim or to use Besom Fleet, which is subject to strong tidal currents, which then pose a risk to them. It is not correct that incidents have not occurred there, as a drowning is supported by a press report that I earlier provided you. I refer the council to the criminal prosecution of Maldon District Council following the death of the bather after striking an obstruction, and to the script of the horror film Jaws, where the council of Amity Island knew there was a risk from a shark in the water but did not warn of it. Thank you.
Ian, as I've asked previously, would you give us a transcript of that last part?
Yeah, sure. Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else like to speak? Thank you.
If I have a second, can I add one line? That the council cannot insure against a criminal prosecution. It can insure against other claims. But if it was subject to a criminal prosecution by the HSE, that would reduce the scope for making claims against its public liability cover.
That should include that in your transcript.
Thanks.
Thank you. Anyone else like to speak? Okay, well, we move on to City Council reports. Martin?
Thank you.
County Council.
Ah, should we do the county first?
Oh, sorry. Just pulled rank on me.
Let me get my lights out.
Now we've swung it right on him, haven't we?
Even time to draw breath. We recently had our council, Essex Council meeting where we went through a number of items. Just to say, obviously, the judicial review is continuing around the local government organisation. By the sounds of things, I've sort of read in the press also, that seems to be followed up by some other organisations looking at the same thing. Just to sort of explain to you, obviously this is the move to the unitary where they've got splitting into five organisations, and the main reason around that is basically because of the cost. I mean, looking at a minimum of 106 million in the cost of actually doing these changes and moving to this, so that's one of the reasons we're looking at that. And 160 million could be better spent elsewhere, I believe, given our expenditure against social care and child size stuff as well. So there's a lot of expense as well as just trying to catch up on our potholes as well. There was a 100-day plan put forward with about 40 commitments on it. They asked me to take it for all of them. I think some people might need to read them themselves and make their own minds up. I think some of it is a bit aspirational. Shouldn't probably say that, but there are some bits in there I'm not too sure about. But some of them are going along the right lines of what we should be trying to do to improve things. So I do hope we can actually get some of them over the line. And one of the main ones for me is about getting a GP. So, and on the island, obviously, we know we have them. We're very short of those sort of things. So I'd love to see something get sorted. There's a launching of Hello Essex campaign. Don't ask me too much about that one. It's more to do with the activity of getting out to Essex, recognising the places that we are. Seems a bit funny today, though, given what happened yesterday, to be talking about something like that. The creation of an Essex Housing Committee to expedite building and planning. I think this is around some of their main buildings we have under Essex County Council control, where we are not getting the best use of those assets, and basically either repurposing them or selling them or renting them, or making sure we actually utilise these assets and make sure we get some money back on them where they've been sitting for far too long not being used. Obviously, I know this is always a contentious one, ending commitment to net zero targets with 3 million projected in savings. Though I think there are some areas we do need to look at, and we have to be reasonable and economic of what we need to be doing in the future, because some things are just not affordable around that side. And actually, you know, when we look at, there's a lot of, I've been reading some more articles this week about net zero and the different thought patterns, and everything always seems to be changing every week. But I think maybe at the moment, given our shortage of money, some things have to sort of be given up. So maybe not everybody will agree with that, but it's one of those things. I do believe in this one, though. There's an opposition to the government's plans for the expansion of Wethersfield Asylum Centre, because I do believe that is not the thing we want happening. I think it's already impacted across Braintree, Chelmsford and Colchester in regards to people being bussed in. And there's been an economic impact, from what I understand, in Braintree on the Thursdays, where people are just stopping coming into the town. So, which is not a thing that you ever want to see happen. There also talks about a veterans village to support ex-military personnel. I do think it's something that really does need to be thought about properly going forward, given like Colchester is a big, massive military town, and we should be making more provisions for them in the future. So there's a 30% increase in pothole repairs from April to June 2026. And obviously they announced a 7.5 million additional investment into the highways for that. They're looking to also maximise the performance through the contract with Ringway and Jacobs. I'll be honest, there's some bits where I've seen repaired maybe not as good as you'd hope them to be, and I think they need to be fixed. So I won't hold my hand up saying we're getting it perfect yet by a long stretch of imagination, but I'm hoping at least we're going in the right direction. But yeah, there's some bits I've reported back and said they've not been repaired up to the job. So I'm not going to pretend that they are. There's no point. There's also a completion of first phase of the A1331 link road, which is walking up to 7,750 new homes. I'm not sure I'm overly happy with that, but obviously that's what's been put in place. And obviously, you probably know, I think I spoke to you, Carl, about this. We targeted maintenance for asking each county councillor to choose their three roads, and obviously, given I'm split between the areas, obviously I picked one road in Tiptree, but I picked two roads in Mersey, but please don't broadcast it to the Tiptree lot, because I don't think they'd be too happy. But part of my one was obviously down the main high street, and obviously, I think obviously there's a bit coming in where we've got that nice little two craters that are on the left-hand side as you drive into the main Mersey. I wanted to get fixed, because I've been down that one myself. So the other things were debated motions, very interesting one about oak trees. I don't know if you're all interested in oak trees, but apparently there's a processionary moth within the county of Essex that's attacking our oak trees. So I think there's something that everybody agreed on, actually, that we should be doing something about it, so, which is quite an amazing thing to see in the council hall, that everybody agreed on one thing together. I think hopefully that would be a good thing to get sorted out. So we'll just watch that. There was a withdrawing of the housing targets. That's one of the things they want to obviously make happen as well. And everybody agreed on that one as well. Not everybody. Liberals decided to have to stay on that one. But I think given where we are in the state of Mersey, we definitely want to be looking at that, because until we get some decent infrastructure, there's no way we can support any further housing on this island. I think it would just be detrimental to all of us. They also advocate protecting Essex Greenbelt and productive agricultural land, which I think is really important as well. And again, protecting free speech and political neutrality in local government. Right, I'm just going to pick up on some local things that I've picked up on, obviously, from some of the constituents. I've picked up on around, obviously, the news where kids have struggled to get into their particular school of choice, and they're going out to Paxman. I've sent off a few emails just to sort of see what we can do about that, because I understand we have a bus that already goes across, whether we could look to expand that service, because obviously it goes to, think it's T, I can't remember the name of the school, but it's the other one. So I know we've got a bus service there. So I'm basically asking how many kids are kind of transferred across. I'm also looking at actually the total number of kids coming off of the island going to secondary schools in Colchester. So I actually think, well, if we're going to look at it, let's do the whole lot and see where actually, like, in case if we expand that bus service, make a bigger bus or whatever, or we put two in place, something like that. So that's why I'm looking from my approach. So but obviously it's a fact-finding at the moment to try and get those sort of details out. I still took your email. I wasn't happy with the response. So I've actually sent the subsequent one on top of that because I'm not happy with that. So that's the current local things I've got. I still need to catch up with Sophie to sort out to pay for your little thing.
Yeah.
So that's the other third thing. I think, Carl, we've got something else to catch up around, and Mr. Acker, I'm catching up with you. Was there something else I've missed?
No, the Paxton one is a big thing on the island. I've got more and more parents. It doesn't just affect Mersey, it affects Peldon, Langenham. I've got quite a few names, but I say I'll keep you in touch with that. I've got the additional. It's ridiculous. They expect these kids to go from here into Colchester bus station, from the bus station to Shrub End, an hour and a half journey to get to school.
Yeah.
And Essex County Council's reply is nothing wrong with that.
No, I think that's
But no, but I'll give you the details.
Well, to be fair, I live on Shrub End. My kids also, when I was there, that's where they used to go to school, and it's literally only 20 minutes road. But when you look at the logistics of where all those schools are, if we're running one bus service across, why, if we can expand it, I don't know how big that bus is currently, it seems rather foolish that we can't. Because if you look at where the congregation of most of these schools, it's like four in one place. Paxman's very close to the other school as well. So it seems really ridiculous that we can't do something about that.
Well, even Shrub End there,
I was on Shrub End, so obviously mine went down to the local down there, but not Paxman, the other direction.
That is good news. There's a lot of parents on to that.
Yeah, so I'm not guaranteeing anything. I think sometimes you have to go in with a plan to say, look, guys, we're already running a bus this way. What stops us making expanding and making it a bit bigger and making it
common sense.
It is common sense. But
I hate to say it.
Let's just be honest. Sometimes politics and common sense don't go hand in hand. And obviously, that's what I'm trying at the moment.
And officers sometimes.
Yeah.
Chris. thanks for the chat we've had about the comprehensive traffic survey coming onto the island. I think the council is very keen that the Essex fund that, if that's possible.
Yes, I think it's something we definitely need to look at. I'm totally in agreement with that. I think we do need to see what's going on coming traffic-wise, because obviously that also helps looking forward of what road maintenance we need going forward and things like that, because they go hand in hand. So I'm totally up for that. Whether I can sort of wheedle it out of their pockets, it's always going to be the battle, isn't it?
It's about 14 years since we had the last one.
Yeah, we should definitely do it. I mean, we've got one nice easy road to the point of access of people coming on, so it's going to be quite easy to do.
Yeah.
Just one last thing, obviously, elephant in the room. I don't know if it's been spoken about yesterday. From my own point of view yesterday, I found it quite harrowing. I didn't realise what was going on. I literally live just off the back of Seaview, so literally I heard all the ambulances, police cars and everything going down there. My daughter and my wife had literally come back from a dog walk literally 10 minutes after that. Yeah, so I've read now what's happened. I think, I wouldn't say I'm an expert on what's happened, but I've just got the gist of what's happened. But I do think it was a real sad event, and it's like one of those things. Can those sort of things be prevented? I think there's just sometimes things just happen and it is a horrible accident and you just don't hope it never repeats again. I think my main thing that I've taken a positive out of it is how well the youngsters or the teenagers responded in that crisis situation. And I think, I don't know what you guys think, but I do feel that maybe when things calm down a bit, we need to sort of recognise that, because I think youth has always been criticised, and I think that's one of the big positives I've taken out of it, how well they did and how well they responded. I think that's something we should probably acknowledge or do something.
Yeah.
Maybe in Mersey Week, I don't know, or recognise it, because I think it was an amazing thing that they did.
Yeah.
And also, we'll have to commend the Air Ambulance and RNL. They're both charities and organisations. So one of the chairmen, Essex County Council, they actually, the Air Ambulance is one of their charities of choice. So I think it would be good, obviously, we can recognise them as well. And obviously the police and the ambulance service. But yeah, overall, I don't know how everybody else is feeling, but I've totally gutted, really. I feel really quite down about it. But and again, it was one of the things I'm probably going to put a post up about, maybe about people obviously with mental health, if there's something they want to access, because I know my neighbours were there and I think it really shocked them what happened, because obviously someone being worked on and stuff like that. So, but yeah, shocking thing to happen, but hopefully perhaps we can take some positives out of it in a way. But that's it, my update for everybody, but thank you.
Well, thank you, Chris. And
nice to see you. Well.
It's probably eaten in some of your time. Do you gentlemen, do you want to go next?
I'll make that a little bit shorter.
Thank you, Chris.
First of all, if I can quickly just pick up on the signage issue, as Colchester City Councillors, we have asked for an urgent review of signage, and I've always been more than that at the moment. Just picking up on your point, Chris, about local councils and house building targets, it's not within our powers, either city councillors, county councillors, to ignore the government's house building targets. They've got us over a barrel, there's no two ways about that. They constantly move the goalposts, they've changed what should have been a level playing field or vaguely level playing field into an alpine ski slope in favour of developers. If a council ignores the government's house building targets or its local plan and doesn't have a local plan, what will happen to it is what happened 2 days ago to Basildon Council, where the Secretary of State intervened, said, I'm taking those powers off you and I'm going to run them. We've got, I think it's 10 councils, was it 11 councils in Essex? We've now got 3 councils where the government has taken their powers, their planning powers, off them. Either because they've not done a local plan and refused to do housing allocations, or because they've refused planning applications and they've gone to planning appeal and they've had too many that they've refused overturned by the inspector. So Uttlesford have gone that way, Epping Forest have gone that way, they've both lost their planning powers. We don't like that at all. I don't like at all the fact, and I'm now chair of the local plan committee, end of March, the government passed a planning direction that said any development over 150 houses where the local councils are likely to refuse permission, you have to refer it to us so we can make the decision if we want to. And we know what that's going to be. And it's like chopping one arm off and tying the other one behind your back. But we have to do the best that we can for the local area, get as much infrastructure as we can, and it really is making the best of a bad job, because if we don't do that, we just, you know, housing developers will be able to apply for planning permission, 500 houses here, 400 there, and they will get them, because we haven't got that local plan. The local plan itself, the island policy I've been pushing for the last 15 months, was finally approved at the last meeting, which was the end of June. That was almost my first job as new local plan chair, getting that one through. The next meeting of the local plan committee will be the end of August. It's likely to be asked to approve the council going out to what's called the Regulation 19 consultation on the local plan. This is the one where what we've just had, Regulation 18, there is a fair amount of change that could potentially happen within the fact that we've just got one arm chopped off and the other one tied behind our backs. Regulation 19, it's more like French polishing before it goes to the inspector. So the changes that have just been made, that's basically a consultation on those changes made in response to the previous consultation. And I think that's all I've got to say. If you've got any questions, I do have to get to another meeting, which wasn't expected, but something has very urgently come up. I can be here for about another 15 minutes or
so. I can see Chris has got his hand, but obviously I'll take councillor first.
Yeah, I'm interested in your analysis of the local plan. I want to congratulate you on your appointment as a local.
Oh, I think chair. It's poison chalice. Well, people have said I'm sure you would share that sentiment.
Someone who's appeared before the local planning committee on many occasions.
And I'm sure you will in the future.
I hope so. Can you seriously say something about the whole question of applications outside the local plan?
Okay. So basically, what has happened now? The government, within 6 months of coming to power, made house building targets legally compulsory, and they upped Colchester's by 40%. That didn't come in immediately, but it came in February.
Yeah.
What that did was not only mean that we had to update the local plan, which was already in process, but there is a long-term requirement that every council has to be able to produce sites to demonstrate a 5-year land supply to meet those targets. Now, at the point those targets went up by 40%, suddenly Colchester didn't have a 5-year land supply. When that happens, there's what planners call is a tilted balance. In other words, instead of being like that, and I've just said it was already like that with the Alpine Skeezer, it tilts even more in favour of developers. So if a developer was to, and let's just pick somewhere at random, because I don't want to say Mersey, let's say Tiptree, they said, we want to build 500 houses there. They put in a planning application. If Colchester's planning committee turns it down, unless there are pretty well exceptional circumstances, it would go to the planning inspector and the planning inspector would grant it, at which point we're into that potential cycle. Too many of those, the council gets the Secretary of State taking over its planning powers.
Okay. Go on. Yeah. Could I just stop you there? If there are very good reasons why a planning application, I do hope the City Council will not take the view that they cannot afford to take on a developer.
And the key, what's... Okay, so I've probably said this here before, but we're in a situation with planning where if we simply say we don't want something and we come up with the normal reasons, it's not going to wash probably because it's just going to go up to minister. What we need is policies and bits of paper that the council will send to the minister. The island policy is part of that, but what is the trump card at the moment? And we have met, as Colchester City Councillors, have recently met with planning officers, and we've pushed this one, is the GP situation on Mersey. We have got 377 people currently living on Mersey who have been unable to register with the GP. Now, what that means is that they are not necessarily at somewhere like Laya de la Haye.
Sure.
They could be at Stanway. Now, we know that a very high proportion of people who move onto this island are moving to retire here, particularly from the London area. They're not necessarily moving at 67, some of them will be moving in their early 70s. And they've got maybe 10 years before they give up their driving licence.
Okay.
And if we've got people who are registered at a GP that's not on a bus route and they need to give up their driving licence, we've got a huge problem because the GP is the access to all sorts of other medical stuff, as you know, because you've been on the patient committee. I think you still are, aren't you?
Yes, right.
Okay. So that, I think, really is the trump card, and we have been making sure that planners will play that one if something has to be referred to the minister.
And Bob, just one thing. From, I'm taking from what you're saying, and it applies to the other two city councils, that you will do your utmost to make sure, in respect to Mersey, that any applications outside the local plan will be fiercely opposed.
Okay, so I am in a unique position as chair of the local plan committee. I'm not allowed to make a public statement like the one you've just asked me to, because it's called predetermination, at which point I would immediately not even be allowed to vote.
I'm talking about the planning application, not the local plan.
Don't ask me to make that statement, John, right? Yes. It's not in anyone's interest that you ask me to make that public statement.
Okay, I'm asking, there's two other city councillors.
And I can't answer for them.
No, but that's simple. Thank you, Bob.
Okay, thank you very much. I'm conscious of time, but thank you.
Did you want Chris to ask you a very quick question? I mean, it's up to you, Mr. Mayor.
Well, yes, it's an important subject, I'm sure.
Yeah. So my question, Martin, is where is the planning power when it's not exercised by the planning officers? Because as of today, if we take East Road, thanks to Chris's intervention, we now have a highways objection, we have 115 individual objections, absolutely nothing from the planning officers. So what we've got with planning from Colchester City Council is a Maginot Line, also known as surrender.
I don't think that's a fair characterisation, and there are things that I'm not going to say in a public meeting.
So where's the objection?
Right. I'm the one that you actually missed out there was the Integrated Care Board's objection.
No,
and that
I'm
is absolutely crucial
planning.
Because that's the one that says we're on -377 for the GP. Now, we have discussed that application with planning officers. I'm not going to go into that discussion in a public meeting.
Because I think if planning don't object...
I have had a discussion with the mayor, and I have said the mayor may want to share things privately with town councillors,
so
but it would not be in the interests of Mersey for me to make a public statement on that at the moment.
Okay, I understand that and I respect that, but if planning don't object, then frankly, to me... planning become completely pointless, as
there
is then your new role.
There is not a date set for that planning application to be determined.
Well, 12th of Never is where it feels at the moment, Martin.
Sorry, 12th of...
12th of Never.
Never. But I thought you'd be happy with that.
No. We want to see, the community want to see the planning officers do their job.
Can we just take one more
question? Yes, from my point of view, what I see is that planning officers are still gathering evidence before they make their determination. So they haven't got all the evidence in front of them to determine whether to object to it or not at the moment. So they're still gathering information. Is that correct, Martin?
That may be part of the picture. As I said, I have had a discussion with Bob, and that is not something that would be appropriate for us to say in a public session.
Thank you. And they've got to get to another meeting. Thank you very much.
Is there any more questions from council?
I'll ask quickly. I know you just talked about the 377 people who haven't got a GP. Can I just ask how you got the number? That was what I'm probably interested in.
So, first of all, we arranged, as Colchester City Councillors, we arranged a meeting nearly a year ago with the senior leadership of the Integrated Care Board, specifically to talk about the situation on Mersey. At that point, the number was, I think, about 220. There was a plan which is stalled, not for the Integrated Care Board's fault at all, to resolve that, and that plan was basically to increase capacity in the surgery, in a phased return, those people who had to register off the island, they can't all come back at once, that would be difficult for the surgery, and then at that point to reopen the list. We've also, as Colchester City Council, has got a specific planning restriction put on the potential east side of Dawes Lane site. That should not be given planning permission until the GP situation is completely resolved, so that people on the island can register with a GP. And coming back to the 377, if you look at the East Road proposal, you will see in the evidence documents there is an objection from the Integrated Care Board that specifically gives that figure of 377.
I think it's Bitcoin that, but anyway.
Well, I mean, that would be at the date that they put in that objection.
Just going to ask the last one. Do we know how many GPs we currently have on the island? Because I'm just interested, because my background is healthcare, so also I know what we should be having.
We did have a figure on that. It was more than we thought it was when we met.
Equivalent to three full-time doctors. That is the permitted number for West Mersey.
When we pushed the integrated care board on the ratio to population, we were told it was well within the ratio. Obviously, we have a problem across the country for the last 20 years, since GPs got a very big pay rise and worked very long hours, and many understandably said, we're going to do 3 days a week and we can get quite a nice salary on that. And that caused all sorts of problems, which we've got here as well.
It's just, I'm really interested because, I'll tell you now, is I've been working with a practice and they're bidding on putting together, they're looking at 2,000 patients per GP.
Was the figure the Integrated Care Board gave us.
Yes, and the problem I've got with it is that it really depends on your... the population saying, because normally on your 60-40, I've looked at your population, it's 60% over 65s. I would expect actually you would need more because of your demographic.
We would completely agree with that.
Gentlemen, I have to draw a line under it now, I'm afraid, and we have to move on. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Your Worship.
Watch it.
Thank you.
Very briefly, I agree with the County Council and yourself, Bob, with what happened yesterday. And I'm sure you'd agree with me that the City Council would agree with you to put a statement to thank all those involved and what happened.
Absolutely.
On that, as another update, another thing with the local plan is the talk of water supply. The government did announce the fact you ain't got the water, you ain't going to build. And I've actually arranged a meeting with Anglian Water and relevant city officers and the committee I chair to actually have a discussion about it all. They'll actually be talking about, they're talking about a desalination plant in East Anglia. They're also talking about in Ardley about the new investment within the Colchester Works of how they're recycling that. So it's going to be a fascinating discussion, which I will report back when that happens. It hasn't happened yet, but I'm arranging it. The reason we've had these discussions is that we've had discussions with Anglian Water with the amount of repairs they do, where they dig the hole up, just leave it for days, close roads off, and then make people coming from here to Maldon or Tiptree have to drive all the way. And so I got some answers coming back from them, and they said it's not good enough, even affected down the bottom near Victory, where they literally really close the road and caused havoc down there. So he did answer back. And as a city goes, which I'm sure you'll agree with, I've been on to Tesco's about the AMPR system there. I can report back, Tesco's don't care, basically. They get a corporate response saying it is what it is. Basically, they say that the average that someone goes into Tesco's, they get in and out within 7 minutes. I'd like to know who they're timing for that one. Do you try to find a member of staff sometimes that are really busy at late or even later on where you can't even get in there? And the co-op is the big one, which I know sure some of you have been seen on, which I know you'll support with. We've managed to get the discussions, once again, with your help there, Bob, that they've dropped the 3-hour return, which is ridiculous. I don't know how many people have gone to the co-op, walked around there, got talking to someone, come out and actually forgot the very item they've gone in for. They have increased the item to the timing from 45 to 60 minutes. I'm still working to see if they do it to 90. I have got, when you listen to the reasoning for why they're doing it, it can be understandable. It's still disappointing they're doing it in the first place. But it is not right that people have been parking in there and then going down the beach for the whole day. That has been happening, and that is not what it's for. The co-op have agreed, as well as part of that, they're going to be putting a tablet in the dentist and the doctors so people don't have to physically go into the co-op, then go to the doctors. So they will be doing that, and there will be a review in September. I do know that Bob has been on helping me with that one.
John, do you have a question? Yeah, I thank Carl for his report. C- could on Anglian Ward, you know that the council, I mean, the town council is really interested in this from a number of viewpoints, particularly in terms of the environment, but also on water supply as well. Could the town council be involved with the meeting you're going to have with Anglian Water?
Because I'm new, being a chair of a committee in Colchester, I don't know. It is actually be a full committee. I don't know. I will ask.
Could you ask that? Because, as you know, we're meeting Karen Sauer, who's one of the principal planning officers, and next week, next Tuesday, to which you're invited, Carl, of course, as well. So it would be really good to have some knowledge of what is taking place, because I think as a community we need to ensure that we're speaking with one voice on this.
Oh yeah, I think you believe I definitely speak with one voice on me. The meeting with Anglian Water will not be taking place until at least September.
Yeah, but I think the point I'm making, I'm sorry to deny, that there's a continuing dialogue with Karen Sauer.
Yeah.
And the meeting next Tuesday is just the first, I hope, in a number.
Yeah, no problem.
Okay.
Thank you, John. Thank you. I think we probably need to move on. It's now 10 to 8. Item 184, confirm the minutes of the council meeting of the 11th of May. I'm surprised we haven't really done that one, actually. Has everybody read through the minutes of the 11th of May?
Yeah.
I'm proposing.
I'll second it.
Proposed and seconded. Are we all in favour?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Thank you. We move on to the minutes of the 2nd of July. Has everybody read those minutes? I'm proposing not. Proposed by Councillor Powering, seconded by
Councillor
Boylan. So are you all in favour?
Yeah.
Thank you. To review and agree the revised strategic aims document version 6.
No,
what have I missed
there?
List of payments.
We haven't got any list of payments.
No.
Okie dokie. Sorry, I've had my eyes.
All right.
A cataract, so I can see distance there, but I can't see a thing up here. So, unless that's my excuse, anyway, whilst it lasts.
Well, that's a good one.
It's a good one, isn't it? It won't last forever. Well, that would help. That's the previous one, isn't it?
That
one there.
Yeah.
Right. So there are no papers. We move on to an update from the committees. Which committees have sat in the last?
Planning haven't sat since the last meeting, nor has personnel, so.
Nor have assets, community and assets.
We do.
Finance is the only
one. Unfortunately for me, finance has, which explains why I've got this agenda here, which I'm trying to read for today. I think those gentlemen that are here for the meeting will agree with me it was quite long.
Yeah.
We did cover a lot of ground. We looked at a revised strategic and aims document, which lays out a tremendous amount of work for this year. There are so many irons in the fire, it's almost untrue, but we need to work our way slowly through them. And it projected on the next 2 to 3 years. We went through some of the control documents, our task tracker, which is run by our town clerk here, Kirsty. We went through aged debtors, we went through aged creditors. We went through all our existing bank accounts. We've now closed Barclays and opened up, I think, 3 or 4 other accounts because we are not covered by the government's security, our 120,000 accounts. So we aren't covered, so we've had to split all our finances up into, say, 5 or 6 accounts, which we've now done, and they're all operational. There was a small question on the mileage allowance, which some of you will know has moved the recommendation from HMRC to move to 55 pence per mile, which we've adopted and accepted. There were another smallish items, which I won't worry you with. We went through our Section 106 agreements that we're waiting for.
we've been offered 20,000 towards our play area, so we're just waiting for Karen Sire to confirm that's coming through. Nigel did some wonderful work on outstanding Section 106 agreements for the Glebe, Glebe 2 that is, and in fact we've had 5,000 back already.
They found 5,000 that they didn't know they owed us, yeah.
But
there's probably more, I think.
Well, I think there will be more.
Yeah.
So there are historic agreements that somehow or other have slipped, slipped under the radar, as it were, so we picked up on those. We've also thinking about the Section 106 agreements for future money that may come together, and there's a list of those which we have gone through. We've talked about the public works loan that we will probably need, in all likelihood need, for the Glebe building, and we worked our way through the cost of the Glebe building to make sure we knew what we were talking about and how to control it. And then there were a couple of items that were in closed session, though we did bring one forward, which was future ideas on parking fees, possible changes in the yellow lines, and parking around Barking Road. So that was a finance meeting. It was quite long, but I think it was quite productive, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Okay, well, that ends my report on finance. You got the right agenda? Yeah. Next item
we're
is?
We're now on working groups, because we're on the other
working groups next. John?
Yes, can I report, Chair? We had a meeting with the local plan working group on the 9th of July. A lot of work is being done on the local plan. As Councillor Parsons indicated, we were very pleased that we've got an island policy. And the island policy has been credited with a lot of input from this council in what the Colchester City Council has put forward. And that's it's something which was not present in the last local plan, and indeed the council and Stop 350 at the time pointed to the fact that we were completely different from many other places in Colchester. We were an island. We had special environmental aspects which were important to us. And that's been a way recognised. And it's interesting how it's come about. Probably come about because of the changing composition of the planning department. There's been a new reorganisation, but it's come about, I think, because of the immense pressure of the city councillors, council and the community in standing up for itself. And it, my goodness me, it did stand up for itself in the last local plan. Contrary to opinion, I listened to the main council of the city council last night, and one councillor said there had been very little opposition to the last local plan. I don't know where he was. it's certainly on Mersey. It was anything but. I mean, if I'd have been there, I'd hung up the headline from the County Standard, which said a thousand objections from Mersey on the last local plan. It was an incredible thing. And I think we should all take pride in that. But I say that because we've got a fight on our hands with this local plan. We really, really, really have. And I was interested in the way it went earlier. We've got an allocation of over 300 houses on the east side of Dawes Lane. As Chris has indicated, where the infrastructure in there is completely hopeless. I mean, there's not integration between Briley and Dawes, as we know at the moment, on a lesser figure. Put another 300 houses, a plus in that. That area is going to be a mess unless we do on the plan. So the working party has been, and David Cooper has been an important part of this, and Graham Fairley as well, is putting together a proper process in dealing with that. It's been painstakingly dealt with, and my goodness, we all have met, and we've got two or three councillors here who are important members of that working group. We have met and we've thrashed out, and the report, Bob, is later on in the agenda,
yeah,
and I'll go through it.
But I want to pay credit to the work that's taken place on this working party. We need, I think, to be very careful going forward, because there are other parts of Colchester who are really, really disadvantaged because of this local plan. Some of the other allocations don't bear examination. We have had the proper audience of the city planners, and we've got Karen Sonnet coming in this chamber next Tuesday. And I think we've got a commitment by her that she will listen very, very carefully to the points that we're putting forward. So that's my report.
I think it's fair to add that the officers have been very cooperative.
They have.
And they're in a difficult position, aren't they, John?
They are in a difficult position, and I've got some sympathy with what Councillor Parsons put forward. But my goodness me, I mean, David and I know this better than anyone, is that we have played by the rules in terms of planning policy here, right? And we're dealing with a government diktat, which is really making life very, very difficult for us. And it's in that environment, excuse the pun, that we are moving forward. But I absolutely determined that the housing policy should not be the ruination of this island.
Okay, John, thank you. We'll come to more of it later on, won't we?
Working group.
Okay, so the Youth Activities Working Group, we haven't actually met since the last meeting, but what's been going on in the background via emails, etc. And we've just sent out a piece to go in Mersey Life, which will be out in a couple of weeks or so, I believe. And word's getting out there. I now have leaflets, brought them with me tonight if anyone wants a leaflet or several, advertising the event on Monday the 24th of August, 5 to 8. And as we knew at last meeting, thanks to our Essex County representative, we had some money put in, which has enabled us to engage with Team Rubicon, who will be running the demos and competitions around scootering and BMXing. So that is really great. Zone Warden has been in touch, heard about it, and wants to come along. So that's Michael Watkins, I believe. And the school has sent it out on their end of term newsletter before they broke up. So, word is getting out there about the event. So hopefully it'll be a well received event.
Certainly seems to be well received, I have to say. Any other working groups?
Bending Rafts?
Yeah, there's an update on Bending Rafts.
Oh, yes.
It's only 3 weeks since the last meeting, and two of the main candidates have been gone.
Doing research, haven't we?
Research.
We're working
towards an MMO application, which we found out that we've got to do ourselves.
Right, well, we can get help with that
from
Carol.
Yeah.
Carol Reed?
Mm. Yes. I think they're at the minute. They've actually done a huge amount of work. They've got it ready to send to Carol.
Mm.
It might be a fact that to ask permission from the council to spend a little money to get to fill the application in properly for them.
Those are on the next agenda then, and I'm sure that'll go through.
And an interesting one just for John. At the council meeting last night, the events going on, and what I knew about it, I did actually miss some of that. I did get called out. But if you did listen, there was a motion made by Sean and Martin, which basically says if up to more than 4% people write in with something regarding the local plan, the council have to respond and update and give you that information, which will be very useful for you.
Yeah, it will be.
Because you are right, Mersey on the last local plan, huge amount.
Huge.
But we have some council that are in denial of everything. Not on our side, but strangely.
I know.
But that's a very useful one, which you can get
it in for
us.
Thank you. So more on Bending Rafts next time, perhaps. Okay. Representatives?
Yeah. I think emailed Chris and he's sending me a reply back saying, as he said in his report, that he wasn't very satisfied with the response he got from the bus companies regarding people being stranded and the times they're going across the street and back. So I'm now waiting for a reply on that one, as well as Chris's. But most of the update I was going to give, he's already done it. So, and I did get a report, and I did get an email from a member of the public on the same subject regarding the buses, regarding the travel from between the schools. So, if Carl will let me, I'll forward that to you as well.
If you can do, I've got quite a huge one, which I know I've spoke to Chris about. And Chris is, I'm giving him the ammunition to fire that for you, which he's already on. So,
yeah.
Appreciate that. It is an important subject. Dave, what you found is. It's very hopeful.
Yeah, thank you.
Good, thank you very much. Moving on swiftly to item 188, the Clerk's Report.
It's me. Right, it's been 3 weeks since the last meeting, so just a few updates. Tree work in West Mersey Park was completed on the 17th of July, except the oak crown reduction, and that was due to nesting birds, that'll be done later. Wellhouse Park, we had emergency repairs that needed to be done to the surface that have been completed. The bridge between Glebe 2 and the Farmer's Field, the first stage has been completed and we just need to put down some non-slip to finish that job. Raymead Oak Tree, there's been lots of tree work, the limbs have been removed. Willoughby Toilets, the red cord, the emergency alarms and the hand dryers hopefully will be installed later in July. And you were right, correct, Bob. The play equipment is due for installation on the 27th of July, not August.
Yeah, oh, good, excellent.
The skate park grind rail is pending, but I have made contacts. He's been down to measure up and to try and make sure that we can get that in place before you have your skate park event. It's still safe, it's not to a safety risk, but it would be nice to.
It was an advisory, wasn't it?
Then we have. Oh, the library weeds by the tree, they've been removed and the tree's been taken out. We're looking to plant a new tree in the beginning of autumn to make sure that it's, it can be watered and kept in the condition that it's been put in. And then the last item is really the presentation next Thursday at the Glebe Pavilion, which is at 7 o'clock. We've sent out leaflets, there's been an article in the Courier, social media. So it's an opportunity for everybody to come down. The Glebe plans will be displayed. The company who took on the feasibility study, they'll be there to answer questions. There'll be a short presentation. It's your chance to have, there'll be a feedback survey to leave your information. And basically gather information, costings, potential sort of costings will be outlined. So it's a chance for all the community to come down to hear the presentation, gather the feedback and then, you know, notice their objections or anything else that they would like to comment or add to it. So please come along.
You say leaflets been sent out. When was that? I haven't received it.
It's still on here. It's got 3 or 4 more days yet to delivery.
And can we put it out on the council's email list? You know, the
I'll ask Karen, has she not done that? The e-newsletter. I thought she had.
I don't think I've seen it.
All right, okay, yeah, I'll get on to that.
It's a very simple job to do.
Yeah,
yeah, I thought she had.
Well, I haven't seen it.
It's on your latest news.
Yeah, but there's an email list that goes out in your newsletter.
Yeah, right. No problem.
It is on the latest news.
It is on the website, yeah.
Yeah, but you've got to go and look at it.
I'm beginning to wonder now whether we should have hired the Debbie Corlett and Micah, but still, never mind. A bit late now.
No, I don't think it's going to be.
Well, we'll see when we're on first. Thank you, Kirsty. Moving on to 189, to review and agree the following documents and policies. The first one is the biodiversity
policy. Rather a lot of documents. We're getting to our review cycle, and our documents need to be reviewed on a yearly basis. So we're just working through this each meeting.
Well, if all the councillors have read them, which I'm sure we all have, could I say we might be able to vote on these on block?
Yeah. Well, I do have a comment on the first one.
Okay.
Well, unless there's any comments on.
Unless there's any comments. I was hopeful, Mary.
I shouldn't have said anything, should I?
It's your fault, Mary.
This was a comment made by our internal auditor, who said she'd been reading about or heard about red squirrels on the island. And I don't think there's anything in here, not that I can see very well, but I don't think there's anything in here about red squirrels, and I'm just wondering, John, whether it is worth
yeah,
a comment
I
or
think,
not.
I think it is, yeah. I agree.
Do you think you could give Kirsty a form of words? It doesn't have to be long,
yeah.
does it? That we
no.
should be aware of when we're trimming trees and so forth.
That's fine.
To look out for red squirrel drays.
Yeah.
But apart from that, I'm perfectly happy with the biodiversity policy.
Okay.
Shall we consider that one as
yeah.
read and accepted?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I haven't got any comments on.
Okay. If you want to, I'll propose that one then. Bobby, if you'll remember.
Bobby,
yeah.
Do you need one individually?
Well,
no.
I'd rather not. Can we not? Well, I don't know. Has everybody read these policies?
Yeah.
Are there any other queries I
well,
haven't?
Well, it's only very minor on the car option procedure.
Yeah.
It says, in the event of vacancies following the close of nominations for full town council elections, the clerk shall follow the above procedure to fill the vacancies. But that wouldn't be true like in 2023 when there's only two councillors. So, the council needs to be quorum to follow the co-optional procedure.
Well, I would sincerely hope in the future we might be, eh?
Well, you don't know.
We don't know. So which item are you looking at then? Which line are you looking at?
Meetings anyway.
No, exactly.
So that, I don't think that makes a difference because we wouldn't be able to do it unless it's a quorum council. But it could be added in.
Which
I'm well, exactly. That's my point.
Yeah.
It just implies that you can do it.
Yeah.
After six. There's a sentence that says, in the event of vacancies following the close of nominations for the full town council elections, the clerk shall follow the above procedure to fill the vacancies. But that wouldn't be the case if the council wasn't quorum at that time. In other words, if there hadn't been three councillors elected, there'd have to be another election called. Or
so do we just need to add words assuming that the council is
quorum?
Yeah.
Is that fair?
Yeah.
Okay.
I know it's trivial, but.
No, it did happen, didn't it?
So now take them all on board?
Yeah, I agree.
Oh, sorry.
I can't wait as I started it. Which one?
Closed circuit TV. This is just a couple of minor things. I think there might be a word missing, or I just am not understanding the sentences. Data subjects means all living individuals about whom holds personal data. Should it have whom town council holds personal data? I don't really get that sentence. And
he's referring to the data controller, whoever it is.
Means all living individuals about.
Yeah. Yes, it doesn't make sense, does it?
Should it be about whom personal data is held as a result of the processes? I just didn't really understand that sentence.
Who hold should it be means all individuals about who hold about who?
Whose personal data is held as a result of the operation of its of CCTV.
I think it should be if personal data is held, not
data
is held.
And then personal data means data relating to a living individual who can be identified privacy policy from that data.
Full stop, I reckon, after identified.
Yeah,
full stop. Probably.
Yeah, that makes sense as well, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
And one last just question on it. I'm sure when we reviewed this last year, there was a debate about who could look at.
It was.
And it was the.
And there was a bit that said
myself.
But I can't actually see that sentence where it says officers only anymore. Everything seems to say council, not officer.
But I think it was more
only viewed by approved members of staff whose role requires them to have access.
Which is myself.
That's just, I read it earlier and I couldn't find that bit. I've got no more comments on any of them.
Agreed, we're going to change the words.
Go on, John, you must have found something.
No, I haven't. I tried.
Okay. So
I I found one there.
Well done.
Can I second it?
I propose it. Maxine seconded. There you go, Paul.
Okay. Are we all in favour?
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you. Item 190. To review and agree the following terms of reference and with any amendments shown in red.
The amendments are shown red. They were meant to be in red, but we're not. Okay, finance and strategy has been agreed,
hasn't it? That's been agreed.
Yeah, there's no amendments to that.
No amendments.
Previous.
So that is as it was.
But we need to reapprove it.
Then what about my alterations? Was that
this is
finance
a,
strategy?
This is finance.
No,
And the youth activities we discussed in the meeting, and I said that we would make sure that it was aligned with the other terms of reference and add a safeguarding clause to it.
That's right, yeah.
So are we happy to formally approve both of those?
Yes.
Can we have a proposal?
Yeah.
And John to second them?
Yeah.
In favour? Yes.
Yeah.
All in favour?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you very much. Okay. Next. To receive an update and agree the revised quotation to install a new footpath using a compacted gravel finish at Coast Road at a cost of £10,230.81. This has come up to us previously, but since that time the contractor that we appointed, Henderson's, has been down and found it's not been quite what he thought it was and not quite what we said it was, so he's had to make some slight amendments to it. The time it's all levelled out, there's then a terrific drop down to the next level, which just needs reinforcing. It was also longer than we thought it was, so it's had extra cost in there. We have spoken to Mr. and Mrs. Dawson, who I have to say were very obliging and have agreed to widen the path to go around the
telegraph pole,
which is very good of them. The budget for this is 14,000, and this is 10,200 and something. However, we will need to put a fence up, because otherwise people will simply fall off the edge. Now, we haven't got a price for that, but there will have to be a price for that.
But we've got VAT on top of that.
We don't pay VAT. Well, we do pay VAT, but we get back again. So, do we have a proposal for this one?
What was the previous quote?
It was 9,000.
Okay, so it's not substantially doing.
It wasn't a huge amount. I can't tell you.
No, that's fine. It's just,
okay.
That's fine. Yeah.
It hasn't gone up a terrific amount.
I propose we accept that quote.
Okay. Do we have a second?
Second.
Well, we want two, three. Thank you, Pig.
Okay.
Where's Mary go?
Are we all in favour?
Yeah.
Thank you. To consider. Go on,
then. No.
192. Yeah. 192. To consider and agree adopting a Finance and Strategy Committee's recommendation to increase the staff mileage allowance from 45p to 55p per mile, effective on the 1st of April 26, in line with HMRC guidance. This has been a long time coming because it's been 45p a mile for as long as I can remember, which is quite a long time. And now with the big increases in fuel, it seems only right that HMRC should increase it to 55. Do we have a proposal to accept that?
I propose that.
Yes. Do we have a seconder?
Yeah, I'll do that.
Are we all in favour? Thank you. Right, well, to discuss for sure West Mersey signage and agree any necessary actions. We have discussed this. Where are we exactly with it, Nigel?
I was just going to say, I think all we need to do is make a statement that we will work with all stakeholders to determine what needs to be done, because it's not just signage, it's also education.
Yeah.
Can I suggest that Mersey Council rejoins the water forum properly?
Yes, absolutely. It is a good forum. What I can't remember, I've got it in my diary somewhere, is when the next date is.
I am going to be arranging that.
You're going to arrange it.
Yeah.
Okay.
But I'm puzzled about it. We're not formally a member of the...
No.
Unfortunately, the previous mayor withdrew from it.
Oh, I didn't know that.
So we'll fix the date as the chairman of the forum.
I don't think anyone withdrew from it. I don't think West Mersey Town Council were a member when it was reconstituted.
Oh, no, it was. We were...
I don't think the mayor withdrew from it, because the mayor can't withdraw from it unilaterally. The council also can't join it unilaterally, so we have to have a vote on whether we all rejoin. But I don't believe we had a vote to leave.
We didn't have a vote to leave, and individual members of the council actually did attend count.
Yes,
absolutely.
We have been
attending.
Yeah,
I remember. Previous one.
Nigel was there. So anyone is welcome to join in on that forum. It's not a closed forum. Any members of the public can join in on that forum. As a visitor, perhaps.
But the important point that Carl made is that there's going to be a meeting.
Yes.
And it will consider this item of signage.
It is one of the agendas.
But the point that Nigel made is really, really important in terms of it's not only signage. It's a very big issue.
Yes, it's education.
How we deal with the visitors coming on the island, multicultural issues,
and
people unfamiliar with the island.
And also,
exactly what the forum does, as you know, the Water Forum has now managed to get the PSPO.
As Councillor Powling pointed out, there's all private landowners like Seaview Holiday Park, Shears Flats owned it'd be good if they could be involved as well.
Yeah, and for the record, the reason why it's on the agenda was to unpack all these things
to put it forward. But we don't need to discuss the little bits of it at the moment.
Yeah.
Your proposal is?
Beach Hut
Chairman. Would you like that? We're all happy.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Sorry, Adam Scott Hayes, I'm the chair of West Mersey Beach Hut Watch. Just to advise, I've got a date from Steve Collis for the next meeting, Carl. So
I know it's October, but I've actually said to him I want one earlier.
Right,
so
there
will be an additional one, which you'll be invited.
No worries. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Carl, I just wonder if it's possible to request a meeting earlier, but maybe in light of yesterday, that we request a meeting, maybe one that is just about that with the Waterside Forum.
I'm talking to senior, imagine this has now gone to quite senior level with what's happened.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So I will.
Because it could potentially take up quite a bit of time of a meeting if there's lots of other things. Because the Waterside Forum doesn't meet very often, I think it's an important item that probably needs to be a dedicated meeting.
It will be arranged with the relevant officers. Carrie, as you can imagine, this is ongoing, it's happening now, so it is on. And just to report while you're in this, but the PSPO has now been approved for Mersey.
And it's in operation.
It is now in operation.
Is that right? Okay.
But the next thing on that is now the enforcement side of
it. Well, yes, but at least it's there, isn't it?
So for this agenda item, we're agreeing that West Mersey provided a statement that we're going to work with all stakeholders to determine a course of action.
Regards to
signage.
Well,
yes, which
on
the way. and wider education,
Education.
Because signage is all well and good, but you need to put things out on the website, like visit West Mersey, you have to have
so
that
signage
on the website.
We're on the same page,
Nigel,
on that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And do you want to let us have some ideas?
Just a question. Going on what Carl said, what needs to happen for West Mersey Town Council to formally become a part of the Waterside Forum?
Well, I always thought we were a part of it, to be honest with you. But
that was an interesting meeting. But
if Carl believes we aren't, and he's on that, what needs to happen in your view?
We'll just invite, we might see if we can change how it works slightly with everyone, which I've got to speak to with officers in Colchester about. It's not quite as simple as Mersey where we can just make committees up. So, but I'm speaking with officers at the moment, so we'll get that meeting as quickly as possible then and get your representatives there. It's important that you do attend and
I
have been.
I mean, both attenders, you've attended them all, haven't you?
Yes.
Well, I've attended some.
Yeah.
It is a very useful form, and it concentrates more on the fisherman's side of it, as you'd expect.
And the yacht club.
And the yacht club.
Yeah.
But, sorry, are we happy to invite?
Yeah, I was going to say, could I have an information when it is? And
well, if you leave your telephone number and
name
with Kirsty, we'll make sure you're informed when the date is. Is that
thank
okay?
You. Thank you.
Yes.
Okay. Do we need to agree this one? Or is it just a statement?
Well, it's a statement, isn't
it?
Statement.
I think we all agree.
Okay. 194, to consider and agree the finance and strategies recommendations regarding the IT support programme. Option A was a 12-month agreement at £280 per month, and option B was a 36-month agreement at £314 per month. Who would like to say what we agreed at?
We agreed option A.
We did.
To recommend to full council.
With the proviso that we would
review it
before
the next anniversary, and then
we would look at alternatives
ready
for the end of the 12 months.
Yeah.
That's right, isn't it?
Yeah.
So that was the recommendation. Proposer for that? Seconder for that? Are we all in favour of option A?
Yeah.
Is anyone wants to go for option B? Okay, for option A?
No, I think we should go with option A.
Well, the reason is the one that we've just explained, that we don't want to commit ourselves to a 3-year contract. We'd like to review it during the course of the next 12 months.
There was also a conversation about the service levels, wasn't there?
There was. So we probably need to talk to our provider about that.
I will, based on the service level, I'll change to option A.
Thank you.
Financially, I think it should.
Well,
that was where I started as well, but I think the arguments for A are probably quite strong.
Okay.
All in favour of option A?
Yeah.
Yes. Thank you very much. Discuss West Mersey Town Council's potential contribution towards the cost of providing 1 hour of free parking at the Bridge and Legion car park and agree any necessary actions. Carl, do you want to give the background to this one?
Well, as you know, with the parking situation across the island, it's getting harder and harder to park. Cars are going absolutely everywhere. People trying to visit the pharmacy or even sometimes on the school run, they're not going to park anywhere. The Legion was having problems with people parking all the time, hence they introduced a parking scheme which only allows members to go there. I believe they did approach us before when the scheme was being introduced, but didn't give the full information, hence asking again. But they might be willing once again to allow 1 hour's worth of free parking in there, so they can go in, they'd be able to go to the pharmacy, where the two pharmacies are, and alleviate the pressure there. It's just trying to do something to help people across the island.
So the proposal is to approach them?
I was going to thank you for your background paper, which is quite comprehensive. And I think, as Bob was suggesting, that we should make an approach to them to see if they're agreeable and what their terms will be, and then go from there.
Exactly. So if it's allowable that the clerk could possibly speak to the chairman of the Legion, and just say would they be meaningful. I think it'd be very useful for the community, because now with all the double yellows going up Melrose Road, people can't park there. So, and the pharmacy, people do struggle to get in there at times.
And then they're parking on the roads, which is then blocking the roads, and that's dangerous getting out
the
cars.
The other option is for everyone to join the Legion and get parking for the year.
Well, that's what they would like, yes.
Yeah, which would probably be better for them.
It would be, but so it'd be good to see their terms, like say Nigel, is literally to approach them to see whether they would re-engage with that.
And then yes, because it may not be possible immediately because they will have a contract with their parking services provider, so you know, you have to ask them.
Yeah, but they had to negotiate that with Ringo. So are we...
And also with that as well, hopefully when the negotiation, I am going to then approach NEP to see whether they would also contribute to any renovation. Well, part of it could be because, of, as you know, we do get money from parking.
Parking,
you could almost sort of come out of that to assist the pressure for people.
Yeah, I'd support that, Jim.
Yeah, and it does help the town centre as well, doesn't it? And it gets people off the road into a safe car park as opposed to parking on the road.
Yeah, and the boots situation needs to be resolved. Queues there, which are quite considerable.
Queues where?
Boots.
Boots.
A lot of people queue up in order to get into
the parking. Oh, no, I've joined
people.
British Legion on parking.
Was that when Nigel's volunteering to pick people up and
drop them? Well, they should be able to walk, because that's what the planners say for the new housing developments, within walking distance of the centre of the village.
Yeah, I think obviously you are actually joking there. They think everybody can walk.
No, but not everyone can walk. But
I think it's a bit too
but also, it ties in with the buses as well. If there was more buses, that would make them.
So I'm happy to propose that.
We have to be aware of the demographic of our island, and I think we.
I know, but we are in that of the demographic.
We are.
Yeah. I'm not quite there.
He's not quite there. He's not
no,
quite
but you,
there.
Bob and I. Are
you're not quite there. And I certainly am. Okay, so the proposal is to approach the Legion.
To approach.
I think I'll put it in the
yes, the British Royal Legion to explore simple short stay parking arrangements for residents and visitors, Legion access.
Okay, proposed by Carl, seconded. Are we all in favour of that?
By.
And we'll bring it back to
Nigel.
Next.
Thank you.
Yeah, and we'll bring it back to
not
next.
Fine. Well,
next
fine.
Are we all right with that?
Yes, I'm fine with it.
To agree the quotation for new placemats. Well,
where are the old ones, by the way?
They've got 20 years worth of carousel. Oh, they've put some place them on the table, and the table had just been polished.
You fancy having them, Dave? They're over there in the corner. I think
they're
gone.
Soapy water might help.
Okay. Right.
I mean, a lot of these.
Looking at the options we've got, does that mean we're all going to be fed dinners?
We're all going to be what?
Fed dinners.
Yeah, because they're dining table placemats.
Yeah, they're not the right thing, are they?
Are they all Amazon?
Could it be an option? Mr. Mayor, to actually give the clerk to spend up to £400 to get suitable placemats.
Why? What a good idea.
Because can I propose that we allow.
I mean, do we need to discuss this one? Because
can I just propose that we allow the clerk, and if they're wrong, it's not. They allow the clerk to actually get suitable placemats, similar to what we've got, lots of dirty.
So you're not
to spend up to £500, £400.
And where betide you make your own decision?
One of the options here is £511.
I think we can discount
how much better than the £32.
I couldn't really see that. So if they're decent, can I make a suggestion that we allow the clerk? With relation to yourself, Mr. Mayor, you spend up £400 to get suitable placemats.
Yeah. I mean, Viking do. You know, office equipment, don't they?
Yeah.
520 by 650, 750 each. I mean,
yeah, it doesn't need to be.
No, it doesn't need to be expensive.
No,
but we do need to protect the surface as best we can. So I think I
will give you up to. You don't have to spend it up to that. And then that, if you're involved as well, Mr. Mayor, I'm sure that
will
be
a figure. Yes.
So I will propose up to, just in case you find some particularly nice ones.
Second of that. Are we all in favour?
Yeah.
Nigel did.
Can we record our satisfaction with how well this table is?
Yeah, I think we should.
I know some people think it's the money we shouldn't have spent, but I think it's come up very, very well.
It
it's a very valuable table. It's a tremendous history to it as well, I imagine, David.
Before my time.
Well, that's going back a long time then.
It's older than me then.
Yeah.
So I think it was money well spent.
Yes, I think it's come up really well. Come up very well.
It wasn't a huge figure anyway. Well, quite a meaty item to finish on, John.
Well, I hope that I've given an introduction share already on this item, but if you'll allow me to go through it. The working party endeavoured to provide as much information to the council as possible, because we're at an in-between point at the moment. We've given a lot of information on Regulation 18 regarding the local plan, and we are expecting Regulation 19, which is the final consultation, in September. It's going to the local plan committee, a draft of Regulation 19 on the 29th of August, I think, the date is late August. And then there will be another process for consultation after that, which will probably be completed by October the end, November, and the council, the city council, is looking to publish the final one that is going to the inspector at the end of the year or beginning of next year. So the proposal for 300 homes, if it's still featured, which I think it will be, will be in the final document, which will go to the inspector at the beginning of next year. As Councillor Parsons says, we have to, I don't take the view, but the City Council takes the view, they have to do it this year. I think the City Council have done an amazing job in previous years. I mean, Karen got the Planner of the Year Award because of her excellence in dealing with planning matters. But the timetable is going to be met for January. So next year, this council will have to prepare for an examination before an inspector. So all the documents which we put forward now will go forward for that. So as we know on this, everything we do will be able to be referred to at the inspection. So we are meticulously putting forward documents that we can rely on before a legal inspection. Yep. And that is why we are painstakingly putting forward what many people regard as overrating the pudding, because we have to keep on doing it and keeping on doing it, so there can be no misunderstanding that we put forward these views very, very clearly. Because last time we did a local plan, we put forward detailed evidence. I have to say this, Stop 350 did the majority of the work, because it had the resources, it had the legal backup, and we had funds. We had £40,000 to £50,000, which we could put forward. And we took detailed legal advice. This time around, we have got a pro bono barrister in the background. I've not used him yet, because it's for us to put forward the information. But it's being done in a way, the next time round, as David and I know, we will lay it out in a form which will be inspector friendly. So it will be dealt with under particular view board. I'm saying all this because, in a way, I'm making an apology to you, but in another way, I'm not. There's a lot of information which I'm coming to the council and putting before you. So I can say, or whoever represents the council, look, inspector, this is what we did. You could follow it through on each occasion. And this is why I'm really interested in what the city councillors are also doing, because that's another chapter, that's another in terms of backing up what the community, of course, is about. So the documents you have, a long way to say this, but I wanted to get this off my chest. What you have before you is a set of documents
which will be put forward, if you agree them, as going forward. Now, can I deal with them in turn? Right. The first one, and I apologise to the public that I haven't put these out to the public. I wanted you to know that this is taking place, but some of the things here are could be had as sensitive documents, because we are putting forward comments which a lot of people would be interested in, if they were interested in development. But I've got no excuse that we are providing as much information in this session, and as we go on, if you look at the council website, it's in Technicolor compared with some other parish councils in terms of the way we've laid out. But the document which we have before you is intended to inform the discussion which we're having with the, well, she is not planning officer, a principal planning officer now, but with Karen Sartre, who is the most senior person, or one of the senior persons, dealing with the local plan. So the first document, council, that I put before you is the reaction to the place policy for West Mersey, for the Dawes Lane, east side of Dawes Lane, and the caravans. Because we argued, for example, for the caravans, and this was another thing which we got. Originally, the City Council wanted to do with caravans for the whole authority and put Mersey as part of that. What we've got for the caravans is a Mersey-specific policy to apply to caravans. But on the main thing on Dawes Lane, we are meeting Karen Sartre next Tuesday. And what I've attempted to do in the document, and this will be, I hope, Bob, a document which we will refer to going forward. Because it won't be just a one-off meeting with Karen. I think there will be exchanges of email and discussions, right? Mm-hmm. So what we will be doing, for example, on the strategic matters affecting Dawes Lane, we are dealing with the scale and the environmental constraints affecting Mersey. That's a biggie thing. We're dealing with infrastructure phasing. We're saying that the plan will require delivery of key infrastructure issues, yeah, particularly on roads and junctions, GP capacity, sewage, water treatment, upgrades, safe walking, cycling routes and other things. On public transport, it is quite clear that the assertion in their document that we've got a good bus service needs to be highly qualified. They've got an item called recycling centre, but it's not really recycling centre. It's really a misnomer. It's really talking about the water treatment centre. We've got an item which we want to discuss with her on primary healthcare provision in terms of required GP capacity. To be extended before first occupation is a big thing. We want we're pointing to the pressure it's already under, and they must confirm feasibility, funding and staffing issues. An alternative provision must not mean sending residents off island, you know, which is another key thing. An alternative must be on island site. On transport parking access, we are going to insist that there is a comprehensive transport and parking strategy, given the increase. We want a cumulative impact on transport assessment, including Dawes Lane. We also, quite interestingly, want consideration, if there's going to be this development, of a site access other than on Dawes Lane, because it probably will need to be access maybe on East Road. We want improvements to Dawes Lane, East Road Junction. I could continue, but it's all detailed in the document.
It is.
And What I would recommend, I'm very happy, of course, to deal with any points. It's dealt with in terms of order of priority. But what the working group is seeking to achieve tonight is agreement in principle that these are the points that which we could put forward to the City Council in the ongoing dialogue which we hope to have with them. Well, thank you.
Well, it's very detailed, John. I just wondered whether we're asking too much.
Well, it's better than asking too little. So
well, yeah, it is, but...
the point, Bob, is that there is an awful lot that could be said. I don't anticipate when we get into discussions it will go down to this level of detail. Right. But as we have, if we haven't had this meeting with her, then I think it would have been a different. But she has come to this meeting expecting the council to come forward with proposals which we would like to see in the place policy. And that's what the brief I've tried to answer.
Well, she's very clued up, as we saw from the big meeting that she had and all the notes and her robust answers to them.
Yeah.
And also a sense of frustration that she just can't do everything.
Yes.
Because the government controls some of it.
Yes,
roads, exactly. For instance.
Exactly.
Has anyone else got any comments on this first?
What is the Edge of Village Bus Park? What is that? What is one of them?
Yeah, I did wonder what that was.
2.7 transport. Townwide parking strategy, including an Edge of Village Bus Park.
No, that's just a proposal or a wish.
It's a wish.
What
it's
is
a
it?
Wish.
What is it? An Edge of
Park
Village.
And Ride.
Oh, right. That's okay.
Yeah.
Well, Park and Ride. Oh, that is.
Which we have talked about, haven't we, Carl?
Oh, yeah.
Many times.
There has been a proposal for that actually near Bellevue. Well, Bellevue is, but the Bitterfield Edge is. It was more of a, rather than a bus, it was more like pay park there and the buses, or so they can walk down to the waterfront as well to alleviate a lot of pressure of the parking there.
Yeah, brilliant idea.
Yeah. Well, it is.
To do something like that and adapt it might be safeguarding it to put in the right conditions that if it does go down to, we talked about being a sort of a, an environmental type car park, so it's not concreted or tarmac,
yeah,
levels to the grass, and it's sort of laid out so cars can drive on it, because it's predominantly going to be used for the summer and that anyway. Put adequate safeguards in that in a few years' time, councils can't suddenly get built on it.
Yeah, and on the caravan part, we're talking about reinforcing things like Bob. Rents, they must be strictly prohibited as such, and we're talking about the need for enforceability, and we're also saying that caravans should be taken into account in ongoing assessment in terms of infrastructure. I mean, that's
in terms of access to the doctors,
and things like that.
Yeah.
So I think that all that is enforceable. Discussion. So, as I say, this is a document which we're going to hopefully discuss with Karen, see where we can go forward.
Do you want to go on to Appendix A, John?
Appendix A is what various members of the working party put forward. Mr. Cooper's already referred to his proposal tonight. This is just being put forward as an individual view, and Nigel and you refer to this question of the extra rugby pitch, which is really quite odd in the in their document, isn't it?
It is, because it would be quite remote if it ever went ahead from anywhere else.
It actually says the extra rugby pitch on Glebe, on the Glebe.
Yeah.
Which we have, there's no space,
no space
without removing
no.
a football pitch.
And the question about the AGP pitch is very problematic, isn't it, in terms of
well,
cost.
It's maintenance of it. If it falls to the council to maintain, I don't know what the figure is, but I know in Tiptree's leisure centre, the Moola multi-use games area, very expensive and
yeah.
very expensive to hire. So we would need a hiring programme. It's would be very complicated. Not saying we shouldn't have one, but we might need to get a Section 106 agreement where we get allocated funds for the next 20 years in order to pay for it, which is the point you picked up on, Nigel.
Well,
Glebe too.
Yeah, I mean, if we had a meeting and decided how it would be funded ongoing, that's fine. Because, as you say, it needs to be hired out. And in the report that Colchester commissioned in 23 or whatever it was, to do with the sporting facilities, they're stating other such facilities are hired out, you know, for three times a day at so much. And
yeah.
So what they're indicating, if it's run properly, it will fund itself. Mm-hmm. But it is, of course, who's going to run it?
Who's going to run it? Who's going to maintain it? Yeah.
But again, this is discussions due to take place with Cohen.
Yeah.
And she's put forward this because I think it's in their mind that the Glebe should be an enhanced sports facility.
Well, we'd agree with that, wouldn't we? Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
But it has to be something that we can manage.
Yeah.
Oh, yes. It has to be something we can manage. Yeah.
Okay. If I could then turn to Appendix B, which is the letter to Colchester City Council. And a really important thing, I'd like to stress to Council that a really important thing is we're relying on the Marine and Coastal Access Act and a habitats regulation, as well as the MCZ, which is the environmental impact on the Blackwater estuary. For our objection to the local plan, Graham Fairley, who is a specialist in environmental matters, has clearly stressed all along that the City Council should have looked at both Brierley and Dawes, as well as the 300 houses, in assessing this issue. And what's recommended, Bob, to the council is that we send this. You could argue that we've made this point before, but if I go back to the original point I made at the opening of what I said, I think it will reinforce the point again that the council needs to deal with this in the regulation 19.
So do we raise this on Tuesday or do we send the letter off?
I think we send the letter off, but we can we can refer to it at the meeting. We can hand it to her at the meeting. But I don't know whether Nigel or Sophie, but the way that the working party considered this was that the letter should be sent.
Yes, it's same reason.
Well, I'm certainly no expert. I wouldn't know whether this is all correct or not, but we're sending it in our names. I'm fairly sure it's accurate.
Yes.
I can't really comment on it. I wouldn't know whether it's accurate or not.
I think all it's asking for is what procedures they use to verify various things. For instance, how the Habitats Regulation Assessment has assessed the cumulative effect of Dawes Lane back in the... John said Dawes Lane, Brierley paddocks. We're just asking for their methodology in coming to the conclusions
yeah.
that they have.
Who are we proposing sending it to, a named individual?
It will go to the lead official for the plan.
Sandra
Scott.
Yes, I was thinking Sandra Scott.
Yeah, we will. Cause
so it's not this or a madam, is it?
No, it will go to... Yeah.
Yeah, I'm sure she'd be delighted to see this. Lots of view of the councillors, please. Carl, you got a view on this one?
You're meeting Karen on Tuesday.
Yep.
Maybe it bring it up there to see the like you say, the points of it. She might, she can be quite useful and help with that. Maybe you could send it anyway, but basically, anyway. If you were to put it before and say, look,
No. I'm agreeing with you, Carl. I always intended that we would do an introduction about where we're at. And this
because
be
it is Sandra. Yeah, yeah. I know Karen's the strategic, but it is Sandra that's handled it.
So you
might get a view from her and might be able to strengthen it for you.
She's got a handle on all these things, hasn't she?
She's definitely got that.
There's a balance to be struck here, which we're writing on the local plan.
I'm more than happy, possibly the vote, the fact is that possibly after your meeting, I don't know if I can make Tuesday, unfortunately. But I'm more than happy to suggest that, to propose that you run it under and then I'm happy for it to be sent.
If
she gives any amendments, which I know you will do, or you and I will do, I'm happy for that to go.
Okay. The meeting on Tuesday is on place policies, so she would turn to us and say, I'm not meeting you today on anything else other than place policies. But we can still introduce
The strange thing is, this is policy, the local plan is policy. The whole thing
it isn't the place, but it's not PP23 though, is it?
No, that's right.
You're naming policies though.
Karen's very open to
this. We can deal with it on Tuesday. So the proposal is we talk to her on Tuesday. And then the letter be sent.
Yeah, well, we can send it earlier. It's what we think is more diplomatic, really.
I think what do you think, Nigel?
When you're gonna email it, are you?
Why don't we say we're sending this letter and then send it after the meeting?
Okay.
So
Appendix B is what we'll do on that then.
Yeah.
Appendix A, the Section 106 monies, well, that's we need to talk to Karen about.
I don't think
there's some good ideas in it. Appendix C?
Yeah, this was an alternative place policy on 23 and 23A.
Thank you.
This was provided by Graham. I think we're not in the game of putting forward an alternative at the moment.
I don't think we should.
No, I will not.
I think we note it. I just not for us to rewrite their documents for them.
No, that's being presumptuous to say that.
Right.
So I think we're there. The other thing I'd report to council is I've had discussions with East Mersey Parish Council. They're certainly in favour of the island policy, and we're discussing with them the caravan policy.
Good.
Okay. Good.
Well, we seem to have everything we should do, don't we?
Yeah.
Are we all happy with those proposals?
So approve the reports and we agreed to send a letter.
Yeah.
Is there not a
proposal?
Go on, well, John's got a proposal, isn't he? Seconder? Well done, Nigel. Are we all in favour of that?
Thank you.
Well, that brings the meeting to a close. Thank you very much, and thank you to the audience for participation.